Good morning. Welcome to Liberty Baptist Church, Berean Bible Class. If you would, let's stand and sing When I See the Blood.
Christ, our Redeemer, died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Compassion, oh boundless love, oh loving kindness, faithful and true. Find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy, Lord. I pray that, Father, that you'd fill me with thy spirit, Lord. Open up our hearts and our ears, Lord. Fill preacher with the spirit of your power, Lord, and help him to preach with the power, fervor, and unction. We ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.
All right. Go ahead and be seated. We'll sing My Jesus, I Love Thee. My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My precious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever
Lord, we come to you again, Lord, thanking you for your blessings. Thank you for your salvation, your love to us, and your grace. And Lord, we thank you for all the things you do for us, even when we don't deserve it, Lord. Lord, we pray this morning as we think of those that are sick, we ask you to be with them and touch their bodies and raise them up, comfort them. I pray, Lord, you'd be with our nation this morning, Lord. I pray you'd help those people that are in charge of what we do and set down the rules and guidelines for us to live by. We'll just consider your word, Lord, and consider what you would have them to do. Have them to do the right thing. Lord, we pray this morning for our military, Lord, as we see increasingly concerns, Lord, about our nation and the world around us. The turmoil that's going on. We ask, Father, you'd be with our military and strengthen them and strengthen their resolve, Lord, to defend our country. Lord, we'd ask this morning you'd be with our police officers, Lord, that protect us and take care of us here at home. We ask, Father, you'd be with them, Lord, and help them to stay faithful to the work they've been called to do. And Lord, we'd ask you to be with the medical folks, Lord, that take care of our needs when we have health issues. Be with the doctors and the nurses and EMS workers, Lord, that come to our aid when we have needs. Father, we thank you for your blessings and your love to us. We'd ask, Father, this morning that if there's anyone lost without Christ here this morning or any place where the gospel's preached, as they hear the gospel preached to them this morning, we ask you to help them to draw them to you, help them to surrender to you this morning. Guide and direct in all we do today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12, starting in verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So, in studying my Bible, as the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, in studying, I found an error in my Bible. And it turns out I found 13. And this morning I'm going to share those with you. But before I do, I'm going to give you a couple things about my Bible. I'm going to give you some things, and they're things that I've given before, and other people here and at Liberty Baptist Church have also given from this pulpit. So my Bible, one, is the 1611 Authorized King James Bible. Not the New King James, the 1611 Old King James Bible. It's divided into two parts, the Old and the New Testament. There's 66 books that are inspired, or might be called canonical. Now, the Apocrypha, it's not canonical. It's not part of canon. It's not part of Scripture. It's not to be accepted as Scripture. The 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. The first five books, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the Law of Moses, written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost by Moses. Now, when I say they were written by Moses, I don't mean that they were written by a man's ideas or his thoughts or his, you know, what he had decided, what he would put, or how he would interpret what God told him. He was inspired by God to write this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God spoke it, they wrote it. God gave it to these men to write down. The Old Testament, Hebrew and Aramaic, were the languages the Old Testament was originally written in. Genesis is the first book of our Old Testament, and Malachi the last book of our Old Testament. It's written, as I said, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, according to 2 Peter 1:21. It says, "For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost," as they were carried along. They were led as to what to write. By Moses, a murderer, they were written, portions were written by kings, shepherds, soldiers, prisoners, servants, adulterers, prophets, the entire Bible. Others were fishermen, tax collectors, tent makers, physicians, and yet, even living at different times and locations, different occupations, yet all harmonizing without, I said without, contradiction. The Old Testament contains The middle of our King James Bible is found in Psalms 118, verse 8, is the middle verse of our Bible, of my Bible. It says this in Psalm 118:8, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." What a fitting verse for the middle of our Bible. Getting halfway through, and all of a sudden, you come to that verse. Very fitting. The shortest chapter is in our Old Testament. It's Psalm 117. It contains only two verses. It says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Though it's the shortest chapter, how true and how powerful that is. It contains, our Old Testament contains, the longest chapter. Some of y'all in your all's Bible reading, when you come to your four chapters a day, and all of a sudden you come to Psalm 119, and you realize, okay, maybe this is going to be a little bit, you know, I'll break this one up. But Psalm 119, which has 176 verses in it, it has the book with the most chapters, which is the book of Psalms. 150 chapters in the book of Psalms. Our Old Testament has the book with the longest verse in the Bible. I was corrected one time. Many times I've been corrected. Some of y'all may already be formulating how you're going to correct me at the end of this Sunday school. But let's continue. I said Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." And Brother Price said, "Brother Pigeot, it's actually Esther 8:9. Esther chapter 8, verse 9 is the longest verse in the Bible, and that's contained in the Old Testament. The Old Testament gives us the account of creation, our coming into being, our origin. It's not ambiguously given, but clearly, in the beginning, God. It contains, our Old Testament contains, factual, historical accounts. Things that actually took place. I mean, history. Now, according to history revisionists, they'll go back and they'll try to change things around, say that didn't happen, but it did. And we have that here. You want to find out some history, especially of the Jews, of Israel? Read the Bible. Go into the Old Testament. It contains scientifically found to be accurate when at times, even sometimes now, they say that the Bible's not correct scientifically, but it was found to be correct scientifically. The Bible talks about science falsely so-called. But the Bible, the Old Testament, scientifically accurate. The New Testament has 27 books. My New Testament starts with the book of Matthew, being the first. The last is Revelation, not Revelations, the book of Revelation. The first four books of my New Testament are known as the Gospel, the Good News. It contains the birth, the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The New Testament contains the early history of the New Testament church. It's found in the book of Acts. The New Testament was written in Greek on several different continents. Our Bible, written
different time periods, different people of different occupations and statures on different continents. The Bible, the New Testament, contains the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35. Sean, what is it? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. The New Testament contains the shortest book in the Bible, John 3, 3 John, which has 14 verses. The second shortest book is also contained in the New Testament, which is 2 John. Now, if you look, 2 John has 13 verses, whereas 3 John has 14 verses. But it was actually word-wise. The book, the shortest book, was determined word-wise. The Apostle Paul wrote, as I said in 2 Peter 1:21, you know, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He wrote the most books in the New Testament with 13. That's not counting Hebrews. I would say 14. Luke wrote more words in the New Testament. As I said, 2 Peter 1, 1:21, you know, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, led to what to write. But Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and the book of Acts is attributed also to Luke. The New Testament contains my life verse. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The New Testament contains the book of Revelation, which end time events, prophecies yet to be fulfilled. I mean, if you've been here for any time, preacher's been preaching out of the book of Revelation, eschatology, you know, on prophecy. Be here for it. Now, the 13. Now, when I found one through studying, it kind of didn't shock me. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Second Samuel chapter 6 says this in verse 7. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. That was the first error I ever found in the Bible. You saw that, right? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. There's that error. Job 19:4 says, and be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. Ecclesiastes 5:6 says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Ecclesiastes 10:5, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Isaiah 32:6, for the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Daniel 6:4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Matthew 27:64. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Romans 1:27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. James 5:20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from his error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. 2 Peter 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Jude 1:11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perishing in the gainsaying of Korah. Let me tell you something. These are those 13 errors that I found. But I'm a Baptist. And I believe in the infallible Word of God, the inerrancy of the Holy Scriptures. And let me tell you something. I don't care what your PhD is or what your status in life is or what your education is. Guess what? This is my book. This is my Bible. This is the Word of God, without error, inerrant, and infallible. So say what you will. Say what you want. Tell me that there's contradictions and error, but I haven't found any but these 13. And guess what? They're all explainable. And they all basically have the word error. So you want to find something wrong with my Bible? You want somebody, you're going to let somebody sit there and tell you, oh, well, that's a book written by man. There have been no errors. Actually, there's errors also. There's like four errors, I believe. But 13 error. But every other thing in this book has been explained. And if I can't explain it, it's my lack of understanding. Not that God did anything wrong. Not that God didn't preserve his word. You see, inspiration was something that they used to fight over, whether we had the word of God. They used to teach that we had, in the many versions, we had pretty much what God said, summed up in all these different versions and whatnot. You know, it's in there somewhere, you know. No. You see, if God spoke it, why wouldn't God also preserve it? Amen. That verse that we read, that he keep it from this generation forever, that the words of the Lord were pure words, purified as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Listen to me. I have the very word of God in the English language. It doesn't contain some of the Word of God, and sprinkled in there, there's some thoughts of man and some ideas and some own, you know, ideas, agendas. One of the attacks that somebody once attacked me as a young Christian was this. They said, King James was a wicked man. He was a wicked king. Sure enough, yeah, there's a whole line of things that he did wickedly. You know, but then it's odd to think that would be your argument, is that King James was a wicked ruler, when, well, look at some of the writers God used. I mean, a murderer, an adulterer, you know, one that would persecute Christians. God used men like that. I mean, he didn't just use righteous men and holy people that were, you know, no, he used men. We're but dust. And let me tell you something, to attack my Bible by saying King James was, you know what, King James had no part in the interpretation and translation of the scriptures, okay? Just because a man would fund something, and matter of fact, many of the things, if that were the case, many of the things that are written within the scriptures condemned him, and guess what? Don't you think he would have said, oh, no, I don't want you to put that in there. That condemns my actions, my faults, my sinfulness. It brings to light. No, thank you. Just let's leave that part out. Just because he funded, translators to put together and compile and to work and study on the scriptures, to translate it, to bring it into the English language, doesn't mean that he had any part of that putting it together. So to attack my Bible by saying King James was a wicked man, sorry, that doesn't hold water. That's not going to faze me. To say that my Bible is false, has error, is contradictory, because it was, I love this, it was written by man. What do you know other than maybe the commandments, the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God, or in the book of Daniel, where the hand appeared on the wall and wrote, meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin, where, are you kidding me? But I guess your tables of stone that were brought, or your golden tablets that were brought by some angel, Moroni, given, that's the hand of God. That God delivered those. No, do you understand that God is so powerful, and he's got such, you just stand in awe when you think he took men. Yes, men. We're but dust. And yet he took men and used them and told them what to write. And not only did he take these men, he didn't take these men as they were all gathered together sitting like some sort of a lecture hall. No, at different times, at different time periods, told them what to write. He told many of these men what to write, and they did not quite understand themselves. I mean, they put it down. They didn't understand it themselves. Even John, when he was to write something, God told him, don't write that. And he wrote it not. He didn't write it. I mean, let me tell you something. It amazes me. Don't sit there and attack my Bible by saying that it's written by man, when the truth is, all that makes me go is, wow, God could use, fallible man to put together this book? That's God. Only God could do something like that. Especially since going through the scriptures and reading the scriptures and seeing how men at different times harmonize and it all fits together and works together without error. It absolutely amazes me how he could tell man, I want you to write about some kingdoms, some empires that are going to come up. And they do. They're formed and they come up exactly the way he says, and some of them are destroyed the way he says. Now, of course, they'll attack that and say, well, that was written after the fact. After it took place, somebody went back and was able to paint this beautiful picture of these kingdoms after the fact that it had already happened. Writing about something that happened in history isn't some great feat, but I'm sorry. They wrote of these things under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost because God said, this is what's gonna happen, and it happened. Just as God said it would happen. Don't attack my Bible by saying that it was written by man, because if it's written by man, man has been fallible over and over and over again. I mean, you look at the high school textbooks, they're not the same high school textbooks that they were when I went to high school. They're changing regularly. They change. scientific, the books in biology, they keep changing. You know, they sit there and say, oh, you know what, we need to change that 100 years, billion years, to 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, tell you something. Don't attack my Bible by saying it was written by man, because there are no contradictions in it. There are no errors in it. Well, other than the ones I showed y'all, those. But if you dig and you study, guess what? You can do as the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't let somebody, anybody, lessen your faith on that book, in that book. Listen to me. This is what my faith is based upon. Amen. I'm standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Because without this book, what's my faith based on? I mean, it's not a feeling. And anybody that would say, well, I feel, give me some scripture, come on. Talk to me. Show me some scripture, some Bible. Read your Bible, because they want it. They've been attacking it. They've continued to come after it. But God's promised that he's going to preserve it and keep it. Read it. Study it. Trust it. Thank you this morning. I know that I caught y'all off guard when I first started. Definitely got y'all's attention. But I just want you to understand, this is book, 1611 King James. That's what we're staying with. That's what we're sticking with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy, Lord. I pray that, Heavenly Father, that you please fill preacher with the Holy Spirit as he brings the message, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you please help us to have a firm foundation, Lord. And we thank you so much, Father, for our Bible. Help us to